And we're going to take your phone calls next. Oliver Williams, our special guest, John Teeter questions right ahead. Oliver, very informative tonight, by the way. Thank you for what you've been doing.
Oh, no problem, George.
Let's go to the phones. Let's pick it up by going to our first-time caller line. Hello there. You're on the air with us.
Hi, my name is Lorenzo from Albuquerque, New Mexico.
Hey, Lorenzo. Go ahead.
I was just kind of wondering about deja vu, maybe, and time travel. I've slipped in and out of sleep, and I've had deja vu when I've been asleep, I should say. And maybe you can slip into another reality like that somehow, maybe. I'm not sure.
Actually, you bring up an interesting point, and John did talk sort of about this. He said that in the future, there's a theory. They believe that there is some sort of a connection between all of the yous in all of the multiple universes out there. And the idea is that memory is actually you accessing an event that's occurring with another you in the past, and looking forward or imagining what might happen, you're accessing what's actually happening with a version of yourself that's in the future. So deja vu might actually be a connection that you have with another you that's very close to you in another universe. So you feel like you're experiencing the same thing.
We've all had that experience too, Oliver.
Yes, we have.
Let's go to our wild card line. Hi there, Harry. Where are you calling from?
I'm calling from Pleasanton, Texas. How are you all this evening?
Thanks, Harry.
I have a hard time grasping this time situation and time travel because, you know, I feel like time is nothing more than an arbitrary unit of measure. And, you know, we break it up according to things that happen around us, the sun rising and setting and so forth. But if you think about it, time has absolutely no valid measurement. You can continue to break it down to the most infinite unit of measure. And I think, you know, the universe has always been here and always will be. You know, I'm the Alpha and the Omega and always have and always will be. There is no unit of measure because there's no beginning and no end. That being said, my point is this. How can our breaking up time, what we call time, into units of measure tell us any more about what time is than if we were to measure how wide the Atlantic Ocean is by so many miles and think we understand that tells us what the Atlantic Ocean is?
Here's my take on it. Okay. I think being able to measure time only helps you in a mechanical sense. For example, your example of knowing how wide the ocean is, well, that would be useful if you're trying to sail across it. You would know it was going to take me this many days, I need to bring this much food. And I think that's the same thing with time travel, is that time is only useful as a measurement in a mechanical sense when you're using the machine. But I agree with you. Everything you said about time is it has no meaning, has no beginning and end. That's true inside of our universe, which is closed. But the way that John described it is you're actually stepping out of our universe into another universe. So the measurement of time is only useful based on, you know, your perception of where you are. Am I in 1970? Am I in 1982? I mean, that's how it's useful as far as time travel goes.
Did John Teeter ever say if anything would go wrong with time travel technically that would create some kind of a split in the space-time continuum or physically hurt him or anybody else?
No. The only thing he said was that, you know, if you go past the limit of the machine, you end up in a universe that's so weird and strange from the one that you were expecting that, you know, it's not useful. And that if the machine had some sort of a malfunction, that would immediately stop where it was and it would, he called it dropping out. You know, if for some reason, you know, let's say you're sitting still, you're using the machine, and unexpectedly somebody builds a building right where you're sitting. Well, the machine would sense that before it happened, and then you would drop out right before the building was built, so you would be safe. So other than that, the only other thing he did say was that the technology to build the time machine could also be used to build a very destructive weapon. That was the only other thing he said.
Let's go to our wild card line. You're up. Go ahead, please.
Hello.
Hello.
Oh, hi. I forgot that I had called on the wild card line.
That's all right.
Okay, good morning, gentlemen. You had said that John had said that traveling into the future would not be very productive, that you couldn't bring anything back to the past that would be productive. My contention in this is, what if, say, I can travel into the future, and I travel there. And at that time, I see problems that have happened in society. And I can research from that time what has happened between then and now, the present, and see what led to those problems, possibly. Travel back to the present where I am, where we are right now, and use that information to help prevent those problems from occurring.
You know what? I think you're right. What I meant by that was that in John's time, going back into the past was useful for what they were trying to do at that moment. But I think you're right. You could go forward in time, get a piece of information, or even maybe get a piece of technology that would be useful and bring it back. But based on the way he described it, it's like, let's say, you know, we go in the future 10 years, we look at what's going on, and then we come back, and we say, hey, here are all the things that are going on, but there are so many factors that would change that because you now know about it. You know, if I were a time traveler and I came to you and I said, you know what, 4 o'clock tomorrow afternoon, you're going to hit by a bus. Well, you're not going to be on that street at 4 o'clock in the afternoon, so the bus isn't going to hit you. So I think it's a cascade of events like that.
Oh, so if you came back and told me, that would mean that I had never been hit, and so you'd have nothing to tell me.
Well, in another universe, in the future, you had been hit, and you're dead.
Right.
So I came back to this one, and I warn you, look, don't go on that bus tomorrow, and you probably had every intention of doing that.
Right.
And now you're not going to do that.
So would you say that that is sort of like the alternate realities? It's sort of like now you've created another future by changing that fact that I was not hit by that bus?
Exactly. In fact, John even said the moment you turn the time machine off, you've changed things. Just because you're there, you've already changed things.
Just by being present.
Correct.
People have seen you.
Right.
You stepped on a bug.
You know, you drove over grass that wasn't driven over before. You did things that, you know, you breathed air no one breathed before. I mean, just being there making those changes has an effect.
What if you brought back a germ?
Oh, absolutely. In fact, John's mom said that he had a lot of colds, that it took him a long time to adapt to being here. You know, and if you think about it, that makes perfect sense.
Mm-hmm.
You know, you go back 50 years, you're going to be exposed to viruses you were never exposed to.
Right, but what if I went into the future and I came back and I brought back something that we had no immunity to?
That would be bad. I agree with you.
I mean, time travel's amazingly fascinating. I've always been fascinated, like Back to the Future. But the repercussions could be just as amazingly bad.
Yeah, it's a heck of a responsibility.
Okay, thanks so much. Next up, let's go to our West of the Rockies line, Donald in Taos, New Mexico. Hi there.
Yeah, I'm calling from Taos, New Mexico.
Yes, sir.
Yes. Where I'm from here, there are many Native American old stories about how the tribes here came from within the earth, or that they had arrived from several different places before coming here. My question to you, Oliver, is whether or not John ever mentioned anything about ancient wormholes, and if that was ever a possibility, and whether or not ancient wormholes could ever still be active or reactivate, and if ancient civilizations were, you know, ever part of the entire history of all of, you know, how things have come about.
Interesting you should bring that up. What he did say was that the physics that allow his time machine to work, it does exist in nature. And it's a specific type of black hole called a Kerr black hole. And what's different about this black hole is that it's spinning very rapidly, and it has an electric charge. And according to John, and according to, you know, the physics, which you can go look up yourself, if it's charged and it's spinning, it has two event horizons. And there is a path where you can travel through the singularity of that black hole where you would not be torn apart by the gravity, and you would emerge on the other side in a different, you know, reality or a different universe as described. So, yes, natural time travel does exist I don't know, you know, if anybody's found a black hole, a Kerr black hole in space, but according to John, naturally those do exist.
Okay, thanks for that call. Let's go to our wild card line. You're on the air. Hi there.
Hi, I'm Linda from Alameda, California.
Hey, hello, Linda. Thanks.
And I thank you for a wonderful show, wonderful topic. I've always been fascinated by the idea of time travel. But, Oliver, the thing that would make me really curious, have you ever spoken to John either in person or on the phone? If so, how many times? Would you recognize the voice if you heard it again?
I don't think you've ever talked to John Teeter.
I haven't. I came to the story late, you know, a couple of years after he left, almost a couple of years. However, there are people still online that did interact directly with him in the forums. So, and they're not hard to find. So if you're looking for somebody that actually had a, you know, a chat or conversation with him, that'd probably be the place to start.
Okay. Thank you so much.
You got it.
Wouldn't that be great to be able to play a tape, the voice of John Teeter?
I couldn't imagine that either.
East of the Rockies, you're up with us. Hello there.
Hello.
Hi.
Hi, this is Katie from Indiana.
Hi, Katie.
How are you guys doing tonight?
We're
good.
Thanks.
Wonderful. Well, I had a question to ask you, actually. This is very intriguing. I've been actually reading a lot of books by Michio Kaku, and he writes about theories of hyperspace and how, you know, a ripple can be is made in the universe, and that's how light travels through it, because everything travels in waves. That's one of his theories. But I was calling to ask you, I heard on a science channel about atoms, that they disappear and then they reappear. Is it kind of like, does that have something to do? Like, is it possible to actually create a wormhole to the point that you could be standing and then disappear and then reappear? Because they don't know where these atoms go.
Yeah, I suppose that's true. In fact, that reminds me the way that John described how time travel works when you're on the other end watching it happen. He said that from the perspective, you know, he would leave for his military mission, wherever he would leave from.
Mm-hmm.
And he said from the perspective of the people in 2036, he'd only be gone a couple of seconds or maybe a minute.
Wow.
But he had aged the amount of time that he was with us. So it would almost seem like it's instantaneous. You know, you leave and then you come back, mission's over, thanks to the computer. So from their perspective, it was just a second. But for his perspective, it was, you know, 4 or 5 years.
Right. Because it's really interesting. I heard a gentleman earlier, he called in, he was talking about how we can't tell time. But I study mathematics. I do discrete mathematics for computers right now. And from what I've learned is that when you have a point A, you're always going to have a point B, or it's an infinite line. Do you know what I mean? Like, we're measuring time by the sun.
Right.
So, I don't know. I just thought I'd throw that out there.
Well, you know, the other thing, too, John mentioned that there are, they're called cesium clocks, and it's what they use to control the time machine. And I guess it's some sort of a release of the cesium atom that happens on a regular basis that conforms to the second. So, you know, from John's perspective, in the time machine, a second is actually the measurement of something happening on an atomic scale, not something that's happening on your watch.
Wow. That's crazy. And that's something out of sci-fi. I mean, you see all these movies when they travel back into space, into time, and they change one thing, and it just destroys the whole entire world.
Yeah, exactly.
So it's a butterfly effect, I guess.
Okay, thank you. Next up, let's go to our wild card line. You're up with us. Hello there. You're on with
Yes,
Oliver.
Hi, George. Hi, Oliver. Hi, this is Bill in West Hartford, Connecticut.
Hi, Bill.
Hi, Oliver. I'm an amateur astronomer, so I know physics. And using quantum mechanics, it's inconceivable to me, of all the timelines, of all the universes, that John Teeter would end up in our universe, our timeline. So my question to you is, do you think it's possible that the instant John Teeter left 2036, he split into an infinite amount of John Teeters, each into a different timeline, one of them in our timeline, and then when they went back to 2036, they all reformed, morphed into one person back to 2036 again?
I suppose that's possible, but since you mentioned quantum mechanics, isn't it one of the, you know, the bedrocks of quantum mechanics that everything is possible or everything is happening at once, that quantum mechanics says that every possible combination is happening?
Yes.
Therefore, there's an infinite number of Johns, an infinite number of yous, an infinite number of perspectives where all this is going on at the same time. So, yeah, maybe we are lucky he showed up here, but then you think about it, there must be infinite other universes where the same thing is happening right now.
Well, how come he showed up here and not a different timeline?
Well, you know, maybe there's lots of yous that experience the same thing, that experience lots of hims showing up. So, you know, from that perspective, it might not just be one you and one me and one John. It'd be an infinite number of all of us experiencing the same thing at a different level.
I see what you're saying. And I have a second question, please.
Sure. Go ahead, Bill.
Yes. Has John mentioned anything about the space program as far as finding life on Mars or unmanned missions or missions finding, looking at the Big Bang, such as the European Planck spacecraft that will be launched July 31st?
Yeah, you know, John's future was radically different from ours, but he did say that they are just now starting to, you know, revamp the space program and that they're looking at ways to use this technology to do that. You know, he talked about being able to use the time machine so that you could travel great distances in space. However, he said that if you did that, you'd actually be traveling to another universe. So you turn it on, you arrive at the moon, you turn it off. And yes, it took you a shorter amount of time to get there, but you're now in a slightly different universe from the one that you started in. So you're still traveling in time, but you're also traveling in space.
Oliver, did he have any heroes? Did he mention anybody specifically?
Wow, that's a good question. You know, he talked about a general during the Civil War that apparently everybody looked up to. He didn't give too many details about that, but he said there's a statue of him. And, oh, boy, what?
In the Civil War, you're talking about the predicted Civil War.
Right, the predicted Civil War. He said there's a statue of the general holding, either holding a firearm or doing something, and it's in Omaha. And that was the only one that he spoke about.
There is a statue of Saddam Hussein that they pulled down. It looks just like it. I hope he's not talking about him.
Yeah, I hope not, too.
You never know. You never know. Let's go to one more call before the break, Oliver. Then we'll come back with final calls. First-time caller line. Hi there.
Hi, how you doing?
Good.
This is Jeremy. I'm in New York City right now.
Hey, Jeremy. Thanks.
I wanted to thank you for taking my call. I wanted to throw it back for a second and tie this in with the concept of deja vu. I had taken some courses from Dr. Charles Tart while he was doing a special class at UNLV in Las Vegas, and I discussed with him the possibility of deja vu being the subconscious mind exceeding the processing rate of the conscious mind.
Mm-hmm.
So by the time that your conscious mind is realizing it, it's sort of already in the deeper memory and in your long-term memory. And I'm wondering if that might even pass on to a further rate of time travel by, like, getting way beyond what the conscious mind is. And so you're actually leaving sort of this time without really leaving it, and it's maybe all happening in your brain.
Yeah, I mean, you know, you think about such subjects as, like, remote viewing. I mean, where you could view,
right,
you know, the idea of you could see something that's happening a distance from you, but you're not traveling there. You know, or as John stated, the idea that you're actually, when you think, you know, think about something that happened to you in the past right now. And what you're actually doing is accessing the event that's actually occurring to another version of yourself in the past. It's not something in your brain. It's your brain connecting to another version of you that's actually experiencing that right now.
All right, well, stay with us. We'll be back with final phone calls with Oliver Williams, webmaster of johnteeter.com, in a moment on Coast to Coast AM. On our next Coast to Coast program, singer, songwriter, actress Helen Reddy joins us to talk about higher consciousness. Looking forward to that. And then we'll go into our Full Moon Friday open lines. Oliver, what's in store for you next? You do things. I don't know. You've never told us about what else you do. Is that you keep that private?
Yeah, it's one of the arrangements I had to make with my wife to do this. Is that she said you can talk about anything, just don't talk about us. Don't talk about where we live or what we do, because she's terrified about what happened to Larry.
Yep, I can understand. Okay, let's go back. We'll wrap up with final calls west of the Rockies. Hi, D.
How you guys doing?
Good. Go ahead.
Yeah, I just wondered, how did John Teeter control where he showed up? Now, you said he could control whether he showed up on a building or not. Let's say he just showed up in a field right next to somebody's yard, or did he care if anybody saw him?
Yeah, actually, he said the time machine is accurate to the second. So basically, he would figure out or type into the computer, whatever he had, where he wanted to be. And then he would park it in a remote location and then turn the unit on, and then it would work. And he said the speed through time was, that maximum speed was, I think, 10 years an hour. So you'd calculate where you needed to be, how long it would take you, and then the machine would turn itself off and you would be there. But he did say that it had a fail-safe system in case something random happened and, you know, wherever he was would change and the machine would stop before that happened.
So then he would just store or carry it with him? Because you said it was like a suitcase-sized bit.
Yeah, actually, he apparently kept it in the vehicle that he was using. So the field was big enough to encompass him and the vehicle that he would be in. He said that it was fairly heavy and difficult to move around, so it had to stay in a vehicle that had a heavy suspension, he said. So I'm guessing it was very heavy. But, you know, I got the impression that it was left in the vehicle or stored someplace while I wasn't using it.
Okay, but he could just go with just in any remote location.
Correct.
Okay. All right, then. You guys have a good night.
As we continue to talk about time travel, Oliver, machines like CERN that could bust through and create this black hole. Again, John Teeter did not say if anything would go awry here, but there are some scientists out there that think that this isn't a great idea.
Yeah, you know, my understanding is they're afraid that if they do create a black hole and they can't control it, what's going to happen? Is it going to, you know, begin swallowing up matter and then eat its way to the center of the Earth and destroy the planet? You know, I guess some real scientists are concerned that that might happen.
Next up, let's go to our wild card line. You're up with us. Hello there.
Hello, gentlemen.
Hi.
I have two questions for Oliver.
Sure.
And the first one, a caller earlier mentioned alternate realities.
Mm-hmm.
And I was wondering if you could expound on that a little bit, because a couple of years ago, my son appeared in two places at the same time.
Wow, that is interesting.
Yeah, it is.
You know, I guess my understanding of it is, if you look at what quantum physics says, which is that every state of every atom is existing at the same time in another reality right next to it. So that means, you know, wherever you are, look, if you've got a coffee table next to you or your clock radio, somewhere there's a universe where that clock radio is an inch to the left. Somewhere there's a universe where it's an inch to the right. And that's the only thing that's different in that entire universe. So think about all of the matter in our universe and all of the possibilities and all of the changes on a quantum level, and that's how many different universes there are. So basically what this machine lets you do is travel between them. You know, and John said that, you know, he could travel to a universe and he would only notice subtle differences. Like he said, a sports team that won a game that didn't win one in his history, or little things like that. So imagine the infinite number of realities there are, and it just boggles your mind.
So does that mean my son was time traveling?
Maybe, you know, I mean, if that happened, according to the physics John laid out, you know, maybe your son traveled back a minute and met himself, whereas none of the other versions of himself did that. So, yeah, I guess maybe that is possible.
Okay. My other question had to do with the ABC series Lost. I was wondering if you were watching that.
You know, I'm aware of it, but I'm not sure I could answer any questions about it, but I'll try.
Okay, because it touches on so many interesting things like time travel, you know,
mm-hmm.
teleportation, alternate realities, timelines. So
it's a pretty successful show. Okay, hey, thank you.
You're welcome.
Pretty successful show indeed. What did he do for fun, Oliver?
Well, that's a good question. You know, one interesting thing, when you play back the Larry Haber interview, I had forgotten this, but did you recall that the mother said that John did arrive in 1998,
mm-hmm.
and then he left for a period of time and came back?
Yes.
So I'm wondering, what was he doing during that period?
And why did he leave?
Right. I mean, my guess is that maybe he decided to go forward a little bit and see what was going on and then come back and warn us about it.
Well, that's a good point.
But, no, I have no idea what he did in his spare time.
East,
that would be interesting.
Yeah. East of the Rockies, you're up with us. Hi there.
Hello.
Yeah.
Yeah. I was wondering, George and Oliver, why is John Titor so believable? I'm not sure. Because if somebody predicts the future, and it's after the event, you know, then why would he be believable over them?
That's a good question. So I guess some of his predictions came true.
Keep in mind, all of these things that we've been talking about, he wrote, between 2000 and 2001. So none of this stuff was immediately after the fact. It's all online, and you can read it. And, you know, there's no doubt that that's when he wrote it.
I wonder if he was a great futurist, like someone who analyzes trends. He was able to spot these things and predict them that way.
Yeah, I suppose that's true. You know, I'm just trying to think back if there's anything that could have gone, either way. Any of the things that, a lot of what he said that's come forward is technology. So, I suppose you could say that. If he knew a lot about different subjects and was able to make some accurate guesses, I suppose that's possible.
I mean, in the 50s, for example, Oliver, if you were reading Popular Mechanics, you would see the incredible things they would put on the cover that didn't really happen for another 20, 30, 40 years.
Well, just thinking back, the example of the poem, that is not a technology issue. And a soldier did write that poem 5 years after John said it would be written.
And it was not rewritten from an earlier poem where
right.
He would have been able to have seen it.
So that's an example of something that, could have been totally random. They may have picked a different title. They may have written about a different subject. It may not have been written by a soldier, but those are all things that he said would happen.
First-time caller line, welcome to the show. Hi there.
Hello.
Yeah, go ahead, please.
Yeah, hi. My name's John, calling out of Las Vegas.
Okay, John.
Yeah, hi. Both of you guys, great show. I just wanted to throw this out there. George, I heard you earlier ask Oliver if there had been any movies or movies coming out or anything like that.
Right, on John Titor, yeah.
Yeah, and I guess, Oliver, you had said not that you were aware of.
Well, I'm aware that somebody's working on one, and, if you do a Google search on YouTube for John Titor, you're going to find a ton of stuff that people are making themselves or working on. So, there is stuff out there. I'm just not sure.
Well, I wanted to throw this out there at you. I don't know if you remember a few years back. I think it started in, 93, and it ran through maybe up to 98. And now I don't know if this is just coincidence or, but it was a miniseries on TV called Sliders.
Oh, yeah. I remember that show.
And I was a huge fan of that, watched it faithfully, and everything that I've heard tonight that you talk about with John Titor and everything, it's Sliders.
Oh, yeah, I agree. I remember that show, too, and you're absolutely right.
And imagine a roulette wheel and infinite number of Earths and, an infinite number of spots, and, you can travel. It's just...
keep in mind, too.
Do you think that John Titor had any influence in that? Because it's the whole story with him. I don't know who produced it or made that show, but do you think that his story had anything to do with that? Because it's so close to what you've talked about tonight.
Oh, I agree. The difference, though, I think, is if you look back, that far back, that was science fiction. And John laid out very specific details about the science. Which, for example, in Sliders, they were trying to get back to the universe that they left.
Right.
Well, according to John, you can't do that. And now, according to John Ronald Mallett, you can't do that. According to the scientists at CERN, you can't do that. Right. So there are very specific details about the science that if John was just making it up, he got lucky and he got it right.
Well, I think too with the show, as the time progressed with the show, they had to elaborate on a lot of things there to make the show keep going and make it more interesting. So for them to get back and finally did get back to where they started, I think that was just to keep the show going. But,
I agree. But, what science fiction one day becomes real the next day,
right.
that's happened throughout history.
Well, I totally believe that time travel is possible. I just think we haven't figured out how to do it yet.
Well, maybe when CERN turns on the collider, we're going to be one step closer.
Maybe. one step closer to something. Wildcard Line, you're up with us on Coast to Coast. Hi there.
Hi, my name is Matt Philadelphia.
Philadelphia. Okay, Matt.
I've been researching this story since 2001.
So you must really know some things.
Well, in 2006, I found a patent application on the USPTO website that was filed in 2004 describing, get this, a method of gravity distortion and time displacement. It was number 2006-007-3976. That's 2006-007-3976. Now, it looked a whole lot like the Teeter diagrams. The strange thing was that a couple of the citations about the physics and the bibliography were dated July 2007. So I kept watching, and I set a Google agent, and I found the citations in New Scientist in late August 2007. And the only thing I can figure out is either someone did a typo or the physics hadn't been invented when the patent was filed in 2004.
Yeah, you know, a lot of people have speculated that one of the reasons John may have been online was that he was slowly spreading the technology out and either hoping or knowing that somebody was going to put it together.
Did real scientists start looking at him too?
I remember a group of people had contacted some science and had shown some of John's stuff to him, and, you know, of course they came back and said, this is all hogwash. But that was, you know, like 2002, 2003. So, you know, I kept looking to see if in mainstream science some of these ideas would come out. And, you know, George, they have, you know, multiple realities, the idea of black holes being used to manipulate gravity, you know, the details about how the machine works. All this stuff now is mainstream science. And we look at it and go, oh, yeah, sure. But 10 years ago, people thought that was ridiculous.
Could be. Let's go next to east of the Rockies. You're on Coast to Coast with us. Hi there.
Hello, this is Greg from Barrie, Ontario, Canada.
Sure thing. Go ahead.
I'd just like to make the point that I believe in the story of John Teeter, but I don't believe that time traveler is the correct description of him.
What would you call him?
Well, I would call him a dimensional traveler, because the time basically is just a concept, not a reality, and his future is not necessarily our future.
I would agree with you on that, but I think from John's perspective, that was the only way that he could describe what he was doing. But you know what? When you think about it, I think you're absolutely right. He's not a time traveler, he's a, you know, a dimension traveler.
Yeah, because I believe that you can't actually travel time, because our life is not really a string from point A to point B. It's an event all at once, and it only appears to happen in time because that's the only way our conscious can recognize it.
Well, you know, on that same point, from the perspective of John, you know, he would be traveling in time. If you didn't understand the physics or where you were, you know, you use a machine, you turn it off, and suddenly you're 10 years in the past. From that perspective, it seems like you're traveling in time.
In the world line of 2036, major changes for the United States. Well, what about the rest of the world?
Yeah, he goes on to describe country by country when people asked him. You know, of course, you know, and George, we get a zillion hits from overseas, from Korea and Japan and China. And, you know, apparently China, and John used the word annex, you know, Japan, Korea, South Korea, Taiwan. You know, apparently China is much larger now, larger in 2036 than it is now. He said South America, basically they have their own problems, but they weren't involved in the nuclear war. He said Europe is basically a mess, just like the United States was, and the Middle East was a mess. Oh, he also said that Australia was able to fend off an invasion by China. That was something else he said. Boy, those are the things I can remember right off the top of my head. But, yeah, he did give some details about what was going on in the world.
Okay, we'll take some final calls here. And also, by the way, first hour Monday night, Dr. Ron Paul, Republican candidate for president, even though McCain just about has everything wrapped up, he will be our guest on Coast to Coast AM, and we'll take your phone calls. We had him on for a bit some time ago, but Ron Paul will be on the program. Those zillions of you who have been emailing me over the last couple months, his campaign has called Tom tonight and said, yeah, of course we want to be on, and here's the night. So circle your calendar. Monday night, 10 o'clock Pacific time, Dr. Ron Paul will be on to take your questions, and we'll talk a little bit about just what's going on in the United States. Let's go west of the Rockies. You're up with us. Hi there.
Hello.
Yeah.
Is it me? Oh,
yes,
yeah.
Sir.
My name's Doug, and I'm in Hollywood, California.
Yeah,
and,
Doug.
Okay, what I was going to ask was, Oliver mentioned something about cesium clocks, and we've been using cesium clocks for a few decades to measure time very accurately. So I was just wondering if John Teeter had mentioned something about the advancement of the technology, or my question was along those lines.
Okay,
did
Oliver, go ahead.
Discuss the advancement of the technology.
All right, thank you, and I'll let you listen on your radio as we only have a minute and 20 seconds left.
Yeah, actually, he did. He said the cesium clock is, there's four of them in the time machine, and they independently measure, you know, the events that are occurring with the black holes. He mentioned something about it uses a laser or some sort of an optical system to check the frequency. And he also said that the unit that was one step up from his uses six clocks, and it's much more accurate. I think he said to the half second versus the second.
Oliver, once again, I want to thank you for being on the program. The website, johnteeter.com, is it user-friendly?
Oh, absolutely. You know, we try to keep it user-friendly and update it, but, yeah, it's a lot of fun. We enjoy it.
Okay, my friend. You take care of yourself, Oliver. Thanks for the full program, the update. Who knows? Maybe one day John Teeter will contact you and we can get both of you on the program.
That would be interesting. It's always a pleasure, George.
All right, my friend. Oliver Williams, he's the webmaster for johnteeter.com, and that's spelled T-I-T-O-R.com. Tomorrow, Helen Reddy will be our first hour guest, actress, singer. She talks about higher consciousness, and then it'll be Full Moon Friday, Open Lines. For Wayne Roberts, Dan Galante, Steve Carr, Tom Danheiser, Lisa Lyon, Lex Lonehood, Sean Laudasur, Ross Mitchell, Ian Punnett, and Art Bell. I'm George Norrie. Somewhere out there on Coast to Coast AM. We'll see you on our next edition. Until then, be safe, everyone.